The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
Hey, it's so good to be with you guys. Thanks for coming back. Kelly and I were in town this summer, all summer long, in State College. Who's ever spent a summer here in State College? A good number of you. You guys, it's so great. It's such a great town in the summertime. It's kind of a terrible place in the winter, actually. You'll find that out pretty soon. But in the summertime, it's just absolutely beautiful. But it's lonely because none of you guys are here. The town is so different, such a different kind of character to it. And so while we love the weather and enjoy being able to be outside and hike, we're always so glad when all the students come back and you just kind of make this lonely place kind of alive again. So thanks so much for coming back. It's been fun for all you returners. It's been so fun to see you guys at the lake. We get out at Lake Raystown every year, and we had a great time there and at the pool party and just messing around with all the kind of the first week events. So good to see so many old friends. So thanks for coming back. And for all of you freshmen, how many again? How many freshmen are here? Let's see it. You guys, that's great. And who else is new to University Park? How many transfers do we have coming in? A good number of you guys, too. You guys, for all of you that are new to Penn State or to University Park, we just want to welcome you here. We are so glad you're here, and I think you're going to love it. This is a phenomenal place. The school is great. The facilities are incredible. And I just love, my wife and I, we've been here for about 8 years, and we love it. And we're so glad you're here with us tonight. I think somebody mentioned earlier, we're going to have an ice cream social just outside those doors in that main kind of patio area. And we hope you stick around. We got a bunch of creamery ice cream, which is kind of famous around here because it's incredibly delicious. And we'd love you to stick around and hang out. And I'd love to meet you myself, as many of you as we can. I love college. I just absolutely think it's the greatest time. My wife and I went to James Madison University down in Virginia and loved that. And kind of ever since, I've been working with college students. So I went to college in 1988. And kind of never left, and we love it. And I think that it is really the sweetest time in life, and I hope that you guys will find the same thing to be true. I think there's really something unique about living in a community where there are hundreds and hundreds of your peers just within walking distance, where there's soccer fields and there's tennis courts and there's indoor and outdoor pools, where every meal is all you can eat, where it's just an incredible place. And if you've got more discretionary time than you're ever going to have for the rest of your life. And if you will make good decisions and pursue relationships, in particular relationships with the right kind of people, I think that you will find your time at Penn State is just a time filled with joy. It was for me, and I hope it will be for you too. When I was at Madison, I had a friend, a guy named Mark Peterson. And Pete was he was actually my RA my sophomore year. And Mark loved life. He loved to play. He loved relationships. And good RA that he was, he would often come and talk me into blowing off some kind of school thing to come and to play. And he would always use the same line of reasoning with me every time. He'd come and say, Henderson, I'd be studying, reading some book. He'd say, Henderson, in 50 years, are you going to remember the grade you got on that history test? Come on, let's go make some memories. And off we'd go, and we'd go do some ridiculous fun thing. And I remember one night in particular, I was in my room, and I was reading something boring, I'm sure, and it was pouring rain. And Peterson came by, and he said, come on, at this point, let's go. He drops the line. Let's go make some memories. And we went off, and we found this field and this hill and a whole bunch of people, and we just went mudsliding. And we wrecked the field, and we ruined our clothes, and we had a great time. And true to his prophecy there, I have no idea. I don't know what I was studying for. I have no recollection. But I know exactly what I was wearing because I'd wrecked it. It was covered with mud and ruined forever. I can see in my mind's eye the faces of the people that I met that night, and it was fun. And I hope that you guys will make similar decisions. And while you are here, play and have a great time. I had another buddy, a guy named Chris Rooker. In my junior year, I decided to be an RA. And I lived in Wayland Hall. And Rook and I noticed one day that in front of the hall, as you go into the building, there's a big yellow sign on the wall, big yellow circle with black triangles cut into it. And above the top of it, it says, Fallout Shelter. And that kind of has a way of seizing the imagination. We're thinking, so where? What is in this thing? And where is it? And how do we get in? Because I was an RA, I had access to like every key in the building. And in the basement, there was a door at the end of the hallway that had never been opened. I'd never seen it opened. There was never any light coming out from it. And so we decided, that's got to be it. There's behind that door, there's got to be some like stairwell to the sub-basement where there are glories untold. And so we get into this key cabinet, and we go through every single key in this huge box, and none of them opened that door, which one was frustrating, but it further cemented in our mind the idea that there is treasure hidden here. And so One day, Rooker gets a he gets a catalog in the mail from one of those companies that sells stuff to people that think they're in the military but really aren't. You know what I'm talking about? So it's got this sweet stuff. It's got, like, you know, belts with, like, belt buckles that have a salt knife hidden in them and sweet stuff like that, you know. And it's got night vision goggles, and it's got plastic Delta darts that you can sneak onto airplanes to kill terrorists if that ever arrives. You know, all this really cool stuff. Because there is a whole segment of society that really, you know, bless their heart, that's kind of what they're into. And they also sold lockpick kits. And so it's like $15, right? I mean, you can't lose for that, right? So we buy a lockpick kit, and we teach ourselves how to pick locks, and we actually can do it. Right? There's a technique that's really pretty easy called scrubbing. And if you scrub a lock, you can, very often, you can pick the lock. And so we got to the point where we could win about 50% of the time. Some locks kind of baffled us, but about half the time we could bust into a door, which I felt like a stud, if you want to know the truth, when I could do that. And then we totally wussed out, and we never opened that door. We never got into that, what I imagine, at least, is a fallout shelter in the sub-basement. I don't know what. Somehow, like, the wisdom of Mark Peterson to make some memories faltered at that moment in my life, and we never got in, and I never knew what was in there. And went back. Rook and I went back. Isn't that a sad? It's a terribly sad story. And Rooker and I went back one year, several years after graduation, and we went into Wayland Hall to see this door that had mocked us, you know? And it now has an electronic lock with an alarm on it, which just made me sick. Like, you know, right, there's something there. I don't know what, something, a fallout show, there's something cool back there. And I will never know what's in there. A, because I don't know how to pick electronic locks, and B, because if I did, I'd go to jail. Like, when you're a student, you can get away with anything, right? Especially if you're an RA, you got a key. I was checking for a resident or something. But today, if I did that today, I'd be in prison, and my children would be fatherless. It'd be terrible. So I'll never know, okay? So while you're here, okay, seize the opportunity. Make some memories. But you're thinking, okay, your point is what exactly? Here's the point, you guys. The best and the happiest memories of your life and of your time at college are going to be the things that you do with your friends. All the good stuff. All the good stuff comes from intimacy and adventure and from being with your friends. All my happiest memories of life in college involved other people. And yours will too, because life is all about relationships of love. I wonder, have you ever thought, why is that the case? Why is life all about relationships? Why is it that the universal longing of the human heart is to be in relationship? The best thing, the best times in life, the sweetest things are the things you do with your friends. And the worst things, the absolute worst thing that you can do to somebody is to put them in solitary confinement, to isolate them from people. Why is it that if I were to go around the room, I'm almost certain that to the person, to the man, to the woman, if I were to ask you and you were to be honest with me about your most fervent hope for life, it would be that you'd be married. Isn't that it? We long to be married. We long to be in intimacy. Some ladies are nodding and then they're embarrassed, but you're right there. Hannah, stand up, would you please? Right, yeah. Okay. Every one of you, it's all, you're all in the same boat. Bless your heart. Yeah, it's true. And it is sweet. Marriage is sweet because we long for that. Yeah. So anyway, why is that? Why do we long to be in relationships? You want to know why? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to argue to you that tonight that the reason that we long for relationships, the reason that the sweetest and best things in life are found in that, is all rooted in the deep theological truth that God is Trinity. He's three in one. He has what theologians call a triune nature, meaning that while there is one God and only one, and there's only ever been one, he has always, for all eternity, existed as a community of three people, three persons who know and love each other. And that from all eternity, 100 billion trillion years ago, they were loving each other, delighting in each other, adoring each other, deferring to each other, revolving around each other, making each other the center of their universe. That there has always been, there was never a time when there was not intimacy and adventure and love and interaction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered what God was doing before he made the world? Not just earth, not just you, but before there was anything in all creation, what did God the Father do? I'll tell you what the Bible teaches. What he did is he loved his Son. He delighted in him and he adored him. While his Son responded with infinite affection and adoration and worship and deference and honor, while they both loved the Spirit, and while the Spirit responded to them with an infinite reciprocation of adoration and love and community. All three constantly putting the interests of the other two above their own. In his most fundamental nature, within himself, when there is nothing else and no one else, God is a party. He is a community. He's a dance. In fact, the early church leaders used that very term to describe that the interaction, the love, and the deference, and the spinning, and the delight that exists within the Godhead. The term they used is perichoresis. Okay, perichoresis. A choreographer, choreo, that means to dance. A choreographer writes the dance. Perichoresis means to dance about. And that's the word they use to describe when there's no one else, when all there is God, when there was nothing else, when there was only God, what he did was, what existed within himself was the perichoresis, the dancing about, the mutual affection and delight and honor and spinning and orbiting and loving, the dance, the family, the community, the party. That is what God is. That's who he is at his most fundamental nature. That party or that dance or that community, that is the eternity that Jesus had known before he came to earth. What he had been doing for all of time was participating in this great dance, in the dancing about with his Father and the Spirit, loving and serving and worshiping each other. And so, when he shows up on earth, you know what he talked about all the time? His relationships and love and service and honor and worship and adoration. That when he talked about those things, he was just drawing on his own experience for all eternity. In fact, Tim Keller is a pastor in New York City from whom I've learned much of what we're talking about tonight. He said this. He said, when Jesus said, you have to lose yourself to find yourself, he's only telling you what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been doing from all eternity. Loving each other and serving each other, revolving around each other and putting the others at the center of their universe. Guys, before there was hydrogen or oxygen, before there was carbon or iron, there was love and there was affection and there was camaraderie and deference and delight and honor, community and relationship. And those things, you guys, they precede and they supersede everything else, including wealth and power and the accumulation of things, all the stuff that we're inclined to kind of build our lives on. All of those things are inferior to, subservient to, lesser than. They come after relationship and community. Because that is why life is all about relationships. The world was made by someone who is a relationship. You were made by someone who is a relationship. And to top it all off, you were made in his image. You were made to look like him. So open your Bibles, if you have them, briefly to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And if you plan on coming to Crew, we will often have the Bible passages we're looking at. We'll have it on the board. But it's a great idea to have your own Bible. You can make notes and jot stuff down in it. So I'd really encourage you to kind of develop that pattern. From Genesis 1, which is real easy. It's like page 1. So find that real quick. It's kind of right at the start. Let me read you this. This is Genesis 1, verse 26. Here's what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, and I want you to notice two things, all right? First, who the heck is he talking to? Okay, there's nobody else. He hasn't made anybody else. And yet he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now, this is the first hint in Scripture, and it's on page 1 of the multi-personal, super-personal nature of God. Before creation itself, before he's made anybody, there's already community. There's already an us. God is a community of persons who've always known and loved each other. And second, you and I were made in his image. Male and female were made after this pattern. So you were made in the image of a supremely relational God. But you're not triune, right? You don't have a plurality of natures, which means that unlike God, you have to go outside of yourself to find community. You can't delight in your other persons because there aren't any other persons. And if there are, you're in a mess, right? Bad, 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 okay? You need to go outside of yourself, which is why you need friends. So it's like this. Imagine for a second that God's a cube, okay? Now, he's not a We can be clear on that. So, but for one brief heretical second, just imagine that God is a cube, okay? You would be like a square, okay? He's a three-dimensional cube. You're more like a two-dimensional square. So you're made in that same image, but you're a whole lot simpler. You're two-dimensional, not three-dimensional, but you're made for cubeness. You're made in his image, but in such a way that you're not self-sufficient like he is. You need other people. We need him. We need other people. We're squares that are made for cubeness. We're people that are made for community. Okay? And so that's one of the big secrets of the universe. That's why life is all about relationships. And so at Crew, we major on this. You probably heard, the guys, MC and Kelly, Ali and Kelly, MCing, they've already used the word community several times tonight, and I've used it about 50, and we're going to use it 1,000 times more before the year is over, because this is what we major on all the time. We see that life is all about living in community, being in relationship. We say that Crew is a community where the gospel makes all this sweet stuff happen. And so we want you to know we are delighted. We're so glad that you're here, because you add to the community, and we want you to be here. One of the passages of Scripture that you'll hear us talk an awful lot about is 1 Thess 2:8, which says this. It says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. This is what we're all about. If you want to stick around in Crew, I think you'll not just hear that, but we hope that you'll experience it, because that sentiment really shapes much of what we do. And so, by way of application, I want to invite you to be part of the community that we're building. It's always continuing a work in progress. And I hope that you'll jump in with both feet, because there's room for you here. And you'll enrich the community. You'll bring things that nobody else can. You'll make the family, you'll make the community, you'll make the relationships richer just by being here and bringing your unique self to it. And I hope you'll do it. I want to give you 3 tips, just by way of application, and then we'll be pretty much done. 3 tips that I think will make a real significant difference in your time at Penn State. Okay? Here they are. Number 1, come to stuff. Just show up. Okay? So tonight you're here. Points right there. Good job. In a few minutes, we're going to go outside and eat ice cream. That should be an easy one because of the ice cream. But for some of you, and a lot of you who are actually kind of like me maybe, the idea of like milling around and doing small talk and all that, the kind of the awkwardness of starting the relationships is kind of a drag. I'm like borderline introvert, extrovert, a little bit leaning to the introvert side. And so for me, small talk is kind of tough. But the reality is, I don't know how to get past that. I mean, there's no way to get past that. There's no way to get to the good stuff except by going through that. So play through it. So learn somebody's name, learn their major, forget their name, ask them again. And then, all right, just do that. And then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. Show up. This weekend, we'll be passing out these little Crew news cards. Right now we got this, then we got an ice cream party right after this. Tomorrow night we got a picnic for everybody, but in particular for the freshmen. After that, we're going to the football eve. After football eve, we're going to have another party. Saturday, we're going to tailgate in the morning. Then we're going to the football game. Then we're having another party. Sunday, there's going to be, can you guess, party. Okay, there's a come, show up. Just show up and learn some names and talk to people. Get known. Jump in. Start those relationships. Just play through that awkward first step, because there's sweet, good, life-giving stuff if you can kind of play through all that. Okay, so that's 1. Jump in. Come. Be there. 2, I hope you'll get in a small group. Tyler mentioned what a significant difference being in a small group made to him. And that's, we could have pulled up 50 different kids that could tell the same story that Tyler did, because it happens all the time. These meetings are fun, but you look around, there's a lot of people here, and it's kind of hard to get to know people in a setting kind of this big. Small groups, our Bible studies, are more like 6 to 10 people, and they're designed to help you get to know people, to help you make friends, to connect, to kind of go a little bit deeper, and to learn about Jesus. And in my experience, when we're doing things that matter, significant things, right next to somebody else, those are the relationships that last for the rest of your life, okay? The people that you're going to be friends with, you might meet them in a Bible study, maybe you'll meet a Bible study with somebody else next year, you'll be the same one with them. Those relationships, those are the folks that are going to be in your weddings, okay? They're the people you'll be friends with in 20 years, and I really encourage you to jump in, get in a small group, and we'll tell you how to do that in just a couple more minutes. Finally, 3rd thing, we also mentioned this, sign up for the fall retreat. I don't think, we're not doing signups tonight, are we? Starts next week. We'll do signups next week. But put it on your calendar. It's October 3rd to the 5th. And every year, you guys, the fall retreat is a major turning point in the lives of dozens and dozens and dozens of students. When I was a student, I came to Crew the night, like the Thursday before the fall retreat. So they were going like the next day. And I got invited to come, but it was my first meeting, and I thought that was weird, and so I didn't go. And so the whole rest of the year, honestly, I kind of never really got super plugged in. I came, But it was harder. I kind of missed that great opportunity to really kind of go deep. My sophomore year, I went to the fall retreat. And I it's one of the maybe top three or four memories of my entire time in college. It's my sophomore year at the fall retreat because I finally felt known. Everything I've been talking about, relationships I was in, it happened there at the fall retreat. And so I wonder what my life would have been like, a little bit different maybe, if I'd gone that freshman year, what a difference it would have made to really plug in and to connect. So I'd really encourage you guys. We'll start sign-ups for it next week. I hope you'll come. It's a great time. The place we go has this incredibly high and incredibly long zip cord. It's awesome. It's massive kind of climbing wall. And we do all great speaking, great worship. These guys will be leading worship. It's just a sweet time. So I hope you come and be there and play games and live with people and have a great time. That, I really think that if you come to the fall retreat, get involved in a small group, show up at stuff, those are the things that will dramatically accelerate your sense of belonging. And that sense, when you feel like you belong somewhere, that's really what makes life worth living. And I hope you'll come and you'll jump into that. Okay? All right, last thing, and then I'll close with this, but I don't want to leave you with the impression that the incredible depth of God's Trinitarian nature points no higher than just our amusement, because it doesn't. There's so many rich truths that come out of that. Let me leave you with what I think maybe is the central idea here. When Jesus submitted to crucifixion, he did so that you might enter into that community. Not that you'd become God. You're not going to do that. But so that you could enter the dance, so that you'd be invited to the party, that you would participate in that perichoresis, that you would dance about with them. That community of persons who have always known and loved each other, they also know and love you. And they want you to come to the dance. They want you to be in the party. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has invited you to the party at an inconceivable cost to himself so that you could come in. The night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed to the Father. Listen to what he said, and listen to it in light of what we've spoken of this evening. Here's what he says. This is in John 17. Jesus says, I pray for all those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them. Get this, that you have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You guys, that should absolutely blow your mind. God the Son is asking God the Father to let you into that circle so that you can know and experience the love that they have always shared for all eternity. They want to extend it to you. That is more incredible than any fiction that's ever been written. You are invited to that, to the central source of love and community and life in the universe. You're invited into the circle to join the dance. And we'd love you guys to stick around for the rest of the year. We're going to talk about this all the time. And I think things of this magnitude are best savored in community. And we'd really count it a privilege to do that with you.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.